Well, it's good to be in the house of the Lord together, isn't it? As a family together. It's the 3rd of December, the first Sunday in Advent. And we're building up to the celebration of the birth of Jesus. In fact, it only seems a short time since we were doing this last year. Doesn't time fly? Yeah. My title for today, as we are heading into Christmas, is Who is this baby? Who is this baby? You know, as we come to Christmas, there will be hundreds and thousands of people in the world who will be celebrating, but without a thought of God. They will be partying, doing all sorts, presents, whatever, but no thought for the birth of the Savior. Just interested in material things. They don't realize what the greatest joy is. The wondrous celebration of Jesus. His birth, his life, his death, his redeeming love and grace. And that's available to one and all. How we should praise God that he's opened our eyes, that he's chosen us. How fantastic is that, to think that God has chosen us. And we're his by the Spirit of adoption. By the Spirit of adoption, we're adopted into that family, this new covenant that we've just celebrated and remembered in his family, in this royal priesthood. Simeon said, Lord, now let your servant depart, for I have seen your salvation. He knew who the baby was. He recognized the baby. And John said, Behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. He knew who this baby had become. You know, you'll be aware that when we speak from this platform, we only speak the Word of God. We only use the Bible. And that is our watchword. And we seek to share the truths of the Bible with you and with ourselves. And how wonderful it is that we're members of a Bible-based, Bible-believing church. That's all you'll hear from this platform, from me and from others, as we're led by the Holy Spirit. This is what we want to speak about. And this book, the Bible, tells us who this baby is. And again, for me, one of the joys of speaking is to trace different scriptures, to find different scriptures that are relevant to the theme that I'm speaking about. And it's just so wonderful that we see this web, this complex web that goes all the way through the Bible, that makes these different books into one complete book, often prophetic, and it all gels into one. It is the inspired Word of God. Somebody told me that there's 44 different people who wrote the Bible. Might have been 44, might have been more for all I know, but it comes together in one book focused on Jesus. That's who the baby is. We also know that Jesus is described as the Word. In the beginning was the Word. So Jesus was there right from the very beginning. He was the Creator. He was there And the book is our guide and teaches us and points us to salvation and our eternal destiny with that Creator, with Jesus. I've previously described, in fact, recently described the Bible as the best history book that there is. The difference being that this Bible is a living book, giving us life and life eternal. It's a template for our lives. It tells us about redemption, secures our future with God, securing our eternity to be with the one who was the creator of all things. Who is this baby? Jesus, the creator, the creator. Yes, he is God. And he was prepared to come to earth as a homeless child, to be born in the humblest of circumstances in a stable, to fulfill his purpose, which was to die for you and for me, to take our place on Calvary's tree, to take on the sin of the world, our sin, our shame, and to provide a route for our salvation. This is who this baby is. So, as I've said, the joy for us who speak is to find and trace different scriptures. So that's what I'm going to do today. I want to share some different scriptures with you that tell us about this baby, this Jesus, the one who came into this world to save us, to receive you and me. So let's open our Bibles and trace why Jesus came, who he is, what he's done for us. We're starting John chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. Who is this baby? I am the door. By me, if any man enters in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. That's what this baby came for. This is the reason why Jesus came, to provide the door, to provide the route for our salvation. And we're told to enter into that door, not to stand and look at it, but to enter in and to go in and out, which means we are free. Jesus has set us free. And we're told that he came not to destroy, but to give us life more abundantly. And that is life eternal. And that, as disciples of Jesus, is what we have now. We now have eternal life in Christ Jesus. Who is this baby? He is the door into the presence of God, the one who gives us abundant life. You know, sometimes we forget what Jesus gave up to come into the world, what he was before. He was a spirit, yet he gave that up to become a man. Still God, but a man. And he had to become a man so that he could die, because God, as a spirit, cannot die. He had to become a man so that he could fulfill that destiny, so he could take on our sin, your sin and my sin, the sin of the world on his shoulders. We are the sinners. He was perfect. He led a sinless life. Yet he was the one that died carrying the sins of the world. And because we now believe in him and hold him as our Savior, we have abundant life. So who is this baby? The one who was born to take on the sins of the world, your sin, my sin, that we might go to heaven saved by his precious blood, the blood of Jesus. Again, if you're still there in John, turn to John 1 verse 14. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Same question, who is this baby? He's the Word that became flesh. So the Most Holy God took on human nature, made his dwelling amongst humanity, remained sinless, remained perfect, brought his matchless grace for you and I. And now we can be part of that matchless glory too. The one and only begotten Son of God, Jesus. Friends, this is what Christmas is all about. It's not about the tinsel, not about the presents, not about the turkey and the stuffing and the Christmas pud, as nice as all those things are. It's about the gift of God and his grace to you and me. It's about Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. And you know, the wonder of it all is that he loves us. He loved us even in our sin. Even before we were created, he knew about us. He'd got it planned. His love was there for us to the point where he would give up that place in heaven, that spirit status that he had, to become a man. And why did he become a man? Because he wanted to share that glory with you and with me. Who is this baby? He is God. And what is God? God is love. God is love. So that is what this baby is. That is what Jesus still is. Even for us wretched sinners that we are, but saved by the glorious grace of God. One of my go-to favorite books is the book of Hebrews. And it guides us through how we should live our life and uses the words, let us, time and again, 13 times I think it's there. Pointing the way for us to live our lives and how we can be God's representatives here on earth, to have faith in things that are unseen, to have things that are not temporal, but eternal and permanent. And because of this child, we can come to the throne of grace. Boldly, let us come boldly to the throne of grace. Because of this child, we must hold on fast to the profession of our faith. And because of this child, we should offer the sacrifice of praise. And there's a lot more in that book, but it's all because of the birth of Jesus. And again, if you have your Bibles, turn, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 1 and verses 1 and 2 of that book. God, who in times past and in many ways spake unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom he also made the world. Who is this baby? He's the heir of all things. He's the creator. He's the one that was sent by the Father, who stands for me and for you in glory, interceding on our behalf, praying for us, in other words. That's what this baby and who this baby is. He's the one who intercedes for you and for me. In previous time, God lifted up prophets. We read about them in the Old Testament, like Moses, Elijah, and many more. And as the Holy Spirit came on them individually, they spoke the word of God and guided mankind in their day and taught us too. But now we have the words of Jesus. The words of Jesus, the Creator, His words. And God, of course, speaks to us through Jesus. No, there is value in learning what the old prophets said. Great learning for us to listen to what they said. But now we have a new covenant, which we've just celebrated through the table. The old covenant is obsolete. Now we have salvation through the blood of Jesus. That's who this baby is. That's what he came to do. You know, those verses remind me of Peter, the one who would speak before he thought so often. That is, until the Holy Spirit came on him, and then he was guided by the Holy Spirit. But do you remember on the Mount of Transfiguration, he was there and he wanted to make three altars. One to Moses, one to Elijah, and one for Jesus. Let's build three altars, he said. But the voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, hear ye him." Now it's time to listen to Jesus. Value in those Old Testament prophets, of course. But now we have this new covenant. And God said, "This is my beloved Son, hear ye him." Listen to Jesus. This new message of salvation. The old ways have gone, and all things have become new. And he has provided a way for us. And God said, "Listen to Jesus, my Son. This is who the baby is." How glad I am, and I'm sure you too, that we live under this new covenant. That we no longer have to sacrifice sheep, goats, bulls, and whatever else. Who is this baby? The one who God said we should listen to. Listen to his words. Listen to his commands. Do his will. Love your neighbor. Love God. Love your neighbor. And so on. You know all these things. So why was this child born? Well, if you are in Hebrews, go to Hebrews 7, verse 27. "For such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, innocent, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens, who does not need daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifices. First for his own sins, and then for the people's. For this he did once and for all, when he offered up himself." It's interesting that, because it says for his own sins, yet he had none. He had none. Until he took on ours. Then he had sins, not his own, but ours. Jesus died once and for all. And his words on the cross, "It is finished." That work was done. It was completed. It is finished. Completed for you and for me. Who is this baby? The one who changed history by bringing in this new covenant. Being sinless, being the all-forgiving Savior. Being the focus of our faith through the cross of Jesus and through his resurrection, all for you and for me, sin and death defeated, a glorious destiny available for you and for me because of the birth of this baby. We can't talk about the birth of Jesus without going to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 9, again, this is prophetic. So 400 or so years before the birth of Jesus. Chapter 9 and verse 6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." So this homeless child, born in a stable, the one the king wanted to kill, a harmless child, but the king knew the threat to his authority. And through that child comes the gift of the grace of God to us sinners. What is he described as? Wonderful Counselor. Some versions in the Bible put a comma between the two. So some say wonderful and then counselor, and some say wonderful counselor. Well, both ways for me, folks. He is wonderful, he is a counselor, and he is a wonderful counselor. Full of wisdom, full of plans for you and for me, plans for our good. And his thoughts in terms of those plans are much higher and greater and grander than our thoughts, beyond our imagination. His thoughts are beyond our capabilities and what we think we can do. And of course, we describe that book and those plans and his thoughts as a mystery. Things that we can't fully understand, but because of our faith, we put our trust in what he says and what he does and how he guides us. So who is this baby? A child born homeless, but a wonderful counselor. The Mighty God. The title of God, both God and mighty. No one is above him. The Mighty God. No one can defeat him. Don't try, you'll lose. Satan's tried for thousands of years. It says in the Bible that no principalities or powers can overthrow him. And in fact, Satan got thrown out, didn't he? Satan got thrown out. Really hard for us to comprehend this mystery. But Satan was thrown out and is defeated. And although we know that we are in a battle, and it's a battle with principalities and powers, and it's a battle against Satan, we know, as it says in John's Gospel, that he has overcome the world. Be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. And in Romans, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. How wonderful this baby, All this promise, all this wondrous love, all this opportunity, all this forgiveness wrapped up in this little child born in a stable. Who is this baby? The Everlasting Father. One of my favorite verses is in Job chapter 19, verse 25. For I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at the last on the earth. My Redeemer lives. This baby born in meager circumstances will stand at the last. Will stand at the last. Born of a virgin, but a victor over principalities and powers. And how long will we be with him? That's the answer. Forever. Forever. That's who this child is. That's who this baby is. He is the door, the one who provided the route for our salvation, the Prince of Peace. John 14 says, verse 27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you, not as the world gives, do I give you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. What are we worried about? Why should we be worried? We shouldn't. Leave it to God. You know, sometimes we do go through hard times, and they do affect us in our humanity. But Jesus said, my peace I give you. And this is God that's saying this. The peace of God he has given to you and to me. Not as the world gives. And you know, there is no peace in the world. You just look around and see today whether there's any peace in this world. There's little or no peace. But let not your heart be troubled. Neither be afraid. We sing, don't we? Oh, the peace my Savior gives, peace I never knew before, and my way has brighter grown since I learned to trust him more. Trust in Jesus. That's who this baby is, the one that we should put our trust in. What a man he was. What a God he is. He wants each one of us to be his friend. He wants us to share in his glory. Can you imagine that? That God wants to share his glory with you and with me. That is the promise of this birth that we're celebrating at Christmas. Not the Christmas trees and the tinsel and the baubles, as nice and as fun as they are. It is about the promise of our eternity available for you and for me with him. If you haven't accepted that eternity with Jesus, you need to do it today. Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. I don't know how many times we can go through and find verses in the scripture. We could go on, but Galatians 4, verses 4 and 5. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. It's a wonderful truth. You know, part of my profession was dealing with adoption. I've told you this before. And adoption is a covenant, a promise. And adoption is for the child, not for the parent. It's designed for the child. God has adopted us for our benefit. Although he loves us and wants us to be part of the family, that arrangement is for us. We've been studying Esther, haven't we? For such a time as this, was one of the sayings in the book of Esther. And Jesus was born at exactly the right time for all time thereafter, for you and for me, for the people of that time and for the people yet to come. He was born of Mary, blessed above all women, but not God. I recently went to a church where they prayed to God and then they prayed to Mary. She is blessed above all women, but we should focus our prayers, our needs, our worship on Jesus, on God. He came to proclaim the gospel of salvation, to redeem those under the law. That's humanity. That's mankind. The law tells us what sin is, but the law can't forgive sin. Only Jesus can forgive sin. And he places us under his grace. What is grace? It's undeserved love. The undeserved love of God. He can't help himself but love us. We are his creation. Yes, we're sinners, but praise God, we can be sinners saved by his grace. So who is this baby? He is God's son. Born of a virgin, became a man, fully man, fully human, yet still God. Why? That we might be adopted into the family of God. Adopted under this new covenant, the new covenant in the blood of Jesus. And his promise that we become heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. How wonderful is that? So all these verses, all these pointers point to this little child born in Bethlehem, a place thought to not produce any good. And what did it produce? It produced the Savior of the world. This is who this baby is. This is who we celebrate. And not just at Christmas, but throughout our Christian lives, day by day, as we get up in the morning and praise God. You know, I've heard it said that you should praise God seven times a day. Seven times a day. And you can do that easily. When you get up, when you go to bed. Every mealtime, breakfast, dinner, tea, morning coffee, afternoon tea. There's your seven. Each time you stop to do any of those things, praise God, and you've fulfilled the seven. And if you do those, you'll probably do more as well. Praise God. So Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9. Who was this baby? The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And chapter 9 verse 9 says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughters of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughters of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he. Humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The prophecy of how Jesus, the Son of God, would go into Jerusalem. Initially in triumph, but that triumph short-lived with the people who chose Barabbas, who chose sin rather than Jesus, and who was scourged and mocked and spat upon, who had a crown of thorns rammed into his head, not just placed there, but rammed into his head so that the blood poured down his cheeks, his back scourged so that the blood poured out of him. Then a robe put on him that would have stuck to the blood, and then they took it off him and would have pulled all his flesh off him as they removed it. the King of Kings. And that is what they did to him. He came to his own, and his own received him not. Instead, they chose Barabbas. They chose sin instead of the Lord of glory. He came not as a king. He came as a baby born of a virgin in a humble stable. And we'll sing and celebrate that numerous times over Christmas, won't we? He came to his own people, mankind, all mankind he came to. Yet mankind did not receive him, did not accept him. And he was lifted on the cross, and that sign on the cross said, King of the Jews. Well, that only told half the story, didn't it? Because he was and is the King of the universe. And I hope and pray he's the King in your life too. Not only the King of the universe, but personally your King, your Savior, your Redeemer. So who was this child? A child born with a purpose. A child born with a destiny. Because of his love, his concern about your destiny. He came to die. He rode into Jerusalem on a donkey, as it was prophesied by Zechariah. Initially proclaimed as king, crucified, dead and buried. The only begotten Son of God the Father, dead. For you, for me. He came to die. He came to bear your sin and my sin. But remember this, 3 days later. Victory. Because he rose from the dead. Death, where is that? Where is your sting? Where is your victory? That death, that sin was defeated. Gone. We receive eternal life when we give our lives to Jesus. We move out of eternal existence, because you do have eternal existence if you're not a child of God. You will have eternal existence without God. But when you give your life to Jesus, you have eternal life with him. So friends, remember as you come to celebrate Christmas what it's all about. The depth, the breadth of what it's all about. The depth of God's love, the breadth of God's love. The meaning that is there for you and for me, for you personally, as well as for the world. For you personally, this God incarnate came, made himself human for you and for me. His life, his peace, his death, all for you and for me. And if you've not ever taken Jesus as your Savior, if you do not know him yet, you have an opportunity today. You know, he's just waiting for you to call on him if you do not know him. It's Jesus that makes the difference in your life. Not a difference. The difference. I often talk about three women in the Bible. The widow of Nain. The woman at the well. And the woman with the issue of blood. And each of those women, their lives were changed completely. Why? Because of Jesus. It's Jesus that makes the difference. And he can make the difference in your life. And if you are already a believer in Jesus and follow him, look to be closer. Look to learn more about him. Look to grow closer to him. Day by day by day. Don't be satisfied with what you've got. going deeper. It's not long ago that Grace spoke about wading into that water deeper and deeper and deeper. Waters to swim in. So all this Christmas celebration is about your salvation, but also about your growth as a Christian, the availability for you to grow and go deeper and deeper into the love that He has got for you and for me. How wonderful is that? How can I stress how important this is? This is your eternal destiny. Once you go through that door into eternity, there's only one door in. There's no door out. Make sure now you're going through to the right place to be with Jesus for all eternity. If you don't know Him, accept Him today whilst there is time. And if you do know Him, dive in deeper. So finally, who is this baby? An insignificant child born in a stable? No. He's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Creator of all things. Nothing exists but for Him. The Savior, as Simeon said, the Redeemer. Now I have seen your salvation, He said. Your servant, yes, let your servant depart. Now I have seen. How did He know all the babies that were brought to Him? How did He know that this one was the Redeemer? It must have been revealed to Him by God that this child that He held in His arms was going to be the Savior of the world. So just to say again, Christmas is not about the presents. It's not about the tinsel. It's not about the lovely Christmas meal that we will all have. Praise God for that. It's about the promise of God. That's who this baby is. That's what we're celebrating. The one who loves you. The one who loves me. Thank God. Amen. Take Him today. If you haven't taken Him before, take Him now. If you have taken Him before, take more of Him. Don't be satisfied. It's Jesus who makes the difference. That's who this baby is. Celebrate that. Amen.